You are listening to Punk News Podcast number 679, yet again for our biannual tradition. That's right, Ricky, our biannual tradition. John and Ricky on the Punk News Podcast, Talking Records, episode 679. This is Homefront doing Nation.
Well, first of all, thanks for playing that. I've been really, really into Homefront lately. So that was cool. Great to be back. I missed doing this since April, so I'm just happy to be on and talking shit, talking records with you, John, again.
Yeah, always a pleasure, Ricky. Let's talk about Homefront real quick. So sure. Homefront had an insane amount of buzz a year ago, and they still got buzz, if you will. I mean, the reason the buzz isn't as strong is because they've been touring the hell out of that record, so pretty much everyone's aware of Homefront. And I kind of put them off a little bit because they were so buzzy. But I got to say, Ricky, I saw Homefront at Punk Rock Bowling, and I bought their second record there. Homefront's freaking awesome. Like, Homefront really is a great band.
They're really good. And I'm to be honest, I'm way late on them. The only reason why I checked them out was because I saw they were touring with one of my favorites, Neighborhood Brats, which I think they're doing now. And then I saw Cal from the Chisels is on that song, the Nation. I'm like, I gotta check this out. And it's funny because I'm not normally like, like a Joy Division, New Order kind of guy, but that they do that kind of thing really, really well. I love how the guitars mix with the synth and everything. So I think they have a future. Isn't I think they're also kind of involved with the Fucked Up Crew, no? I believe.
Yes, I think you're right, actually. You're right. Jonah in it
Yeah.
or produced the record. You're totally right.
Yeah, so I mean that's a really cool combo. That's a good endorsement to just check them out. So now I have their The Nation 12-inch, a 12-inch single as we're big fans of. And if anyone has the first pressing of the white version of Games of Power, hit me up on Instagram because I'm still looking for it.
What's that going for, Ricky?
I can't find it. It's not out. You can't, I mean, you can't find it on Discogs. It hasn't sold. There's one. Oh no, I'm sorry. It went up. Looks like the highest was $57.
Yeah, I gotta say, man, like I said, that band, like I saw a punk rock ball game and they were like dancing. And at first I was like, oh, this is kind of cheesy, but actually they're really good. They're really good.
Yeah.
Ricky, what's your? I mean, you and I both love the 12-inch single, but what's your
Yes.
opinion of paying 25 Sheboygans for two? Was it two songs, three songs? That's a lot of dough for three tunes. One, which
It
is already on the record.
hurts. It's painful, especially if you don't get the digital download after with it.
But I gotta say though, Ricky, when you do play, does it play at 45 speed?
Oh, you know what? I don't know. Let me see. 'Cause I have them open on Discogs right now. Is it the 7, the 12-inch? I think it's 45.
It should be played 40. So when you do play those 12-inch 45 RPM records, they do sound pretty good, Ricky. They do sound pretty good.
They're fun. They take up way too much room, but they're fun.
Homefront, three thumbs up.
Yeah.
Ricky, it was Record Store Day this past Friday.
Yes.
What was your Record Store Day adventure, Ricky?
So, I mean, listen, I've been on here and I've said it before. For me, Record Store Day Black Friday almost never happens. It has in the past, but not much. There wasn't anything on the list, so what I did was, for me, so what
Well,
I did was,
actually, let's
what?
talk about the risk. I will agree that the list this year was actually the weakest it's been in a long time.
Yeah.
You and I have disagreed in that the list in general. See, I think the list in general lately has been pretty strong. I thought this Record Store Day list was very weak, frankly. I
Yeah.
think the most, I guess, representative weakness is the Ramones have been putting out some killer reissues. The 80s box set, the demos for Pleasant Dreams. The live records, there's some really good live records. All that stuff is super good. What they put out this time was literally their budget CD greatest hits as a record. Not even the famous greatest hits record, Ramones Mania, or even Hey Ho, Let's Go, the anthology, which they could have done as a record. They did the budget CD version as a deluxe release. Which, Ricky, what the hell is the point of that? Like, what is the point of that? You know what I mean?
Dude, I mean, they're just trying to get as much money as they can out of
Well, who's
that.
they? Who's they?
Who is it, Sire at this point?
No.
Or is it
I think
Rhino?
so. I here's what I think the issue is, as you know, Linda Ramone and Mickey Lee own
Hmm.
half of the Ramones each, except Mickey Lee doesn't because he sold Joey Ramone's publishing, which I thought was kind of poor form, frankly. And the reason is that because Mickey Lee's always like, I'm the one that cares about the Ramones. Linda only cares about money. And then he goes and sells Joey's publishing, which I thought was weird, you know?
By the way, I can actually, like, real quick, I can actually vouch for Linda because I went to the Johnny Ramone event that they do every year. She was there and she was like stoked. Like to me it came off that she genuinely loves the band and their legacy and everything.
Wait, did you go to the one with the Billy Idol like this last year or whatever?
No, it was the
Oh.
one that when I was selling the no, actually I went when I went it was Steve Jones, Shepherd Fairey was there. Henry Rollins was there, and some other people, but Linda Ramone was there.
So I think what it is Mickey Lee and Linda are suing the crap out of each other right now. And so I think where maybe the Usos somewhat be able to, and not that they're sitting at a table together figuring out what to put out, but
Yeah.
through the representatives, they were able to work out, let's do this box set. Let's do this Archive Live record. Let's do this, the original version of Pleasant Dreams, you know?
Yeah.
I think the situation is so broken down. Oh, so this is Rhino Warner Brothers. The situation is so broken down that they can't even do that. So I guess maybe the record label is like, yeah, so I guess you're right. It's probably just the record label Rhino
Yeah.
slash Warner say, all right, let's find the easiest thing that we can, literally the easiest thing we can manufacture, which is this budget greatest hits, and just spit it out. And I think that's probably what happened. But like Ricky, you weren't even interested like in the Rage Against the Machine live record. You love that
John,
band.
John.
Yes.
That was a 2018 Record Store Day release.
Oh.
They recycled it. It's just a different color.
Ugh.
So otherwise, I would have gotten it, but I was going to bring that up because that, like a double on a Record Store Day list, that never happens. That's kind of a crime. That's not a crime, but it's like
It's a crime.
it's
It's a
a
crime,
okay, it's a
Ricky.
crime. Fine, it's a crime. But like, I mean, first of all, I love that. I'm not a huge live records fan. But that live record is awesome. I don't need two of it. And all I mean, like, it's I think it came out, was it 20? Yeah, I was like, I think it was one of the ones I had to buy later because I guess I just didn't get in line soon enough for it. But I mean, like, what? Why would you? It's not like it's not some legendary record. I don't know why you need to do it twice. So I mean, and as we talk about every year, we go through what we want Record Store Day to do, but they never get to what like the people actually want. They just really again, like no.
Yeah, it was pretty weak this year, pretty weak. The only thing that the only well, there's the Michael Rose record, which I'm super psyched on. Michael Rose with Black Uhuru, Subatomic Sound System, Holly Cook, who is I can remember Cook from the Sex Pistols, not Glenn Matlock. Cook, who's Cook from the Sex Pistols, Ricky? Not Peter Cook. I'm thinking of Peter Hook. I can never remember his name.
Paul Cook.
Paul Cook, his daughter, who does reggae. So I was psyched on that, and that's actually the only thing I really really wanted. But I'll talk about my Record Store Day adventure. So the point being is Record Store Day this year very weak. So the question, actually, we'll talk about summations at the end. But Ricky, go ahead. So what was your Record Store Day adventure?
So I went on the Monday before. I went to Amoeba, did some looking around, did some digging. I love Amoeba. But it's always hit or miss. Sometimes I find something on the wall where like the nice where they keep the really nice stuff, and I just go, "That's it. Come to Daddy. One thing, and then I'm out." This time, I actually found a black copy of Games of Power by Homefront. And I'm just like, oh, this is cool. And I was going to get the Split Systems repress of their Volume 1 album, but I decided just to go with the Homefront album. And that was actually a relief because I didn't have to pay shipping from England or Europe. So that was cool. But that's really all I got. I've gotten plenty of stuff throughout the year, but in terms of going to the record store, that was my only one. But you know what? Sometimes quality over quantity is perfectly fine with this stuff. And it honestly, it sounds re the record sounds really good on vinyl.
Indeed. Is there anything else at Amoeba, Ricky, or just one record?
Just one record, that was it.
How do you go to Amoeba and only buy one record?
It really depends. I mean, it depends on I go for because I really mainly go for like the collectible stuff on the wall, but I think what they were doing was holding back, and then what they do on Black Friday Record Store Day and regular Record Store Day is they put up the really nice stuff day of. But I go like 3 or 4 times a year. And sometimes I bring home a haul. Sometimes I bring home one. I have, believe it or not. Oh no, wait. I'm sorry. I also got if I can't find anything extra, what I do is I'll buy like Oh God, what are they called? Let me grab them real quick. The MoFi inner sleeves, those plastic
Okay, yeah.
ones. So they usually ha they haven't, you know, inflation has like not affected these at Amoeba, so it's they're a great price. So I'll always grab the a box of those too. They're like $25. That's and you can't really do better than that these days. So, yeah.
Well, there you have it. My record store day was a little different. I usually do both regular record store day and record store day Black Friday, but this time I didn't because I was at the Not Just Rock Expo in Oaks, PA, which is near King of Prussia, which is near Philadelphia. And it's called the Not Just Rock Expo, but it really is pretty much the Just Rock Expo. But they have a lot of records and you know, a lot of record sellers and that kind of stuff for sale. Ricky, I got maybe the best get of my entire life.
What?
I got something pretty freaking crazy. So I'm walking down the aisle and I see this guy's got some guar flyers. And I've got a few guar flyers, so I don't need them, but I'm looking at them. And he's got some cool guar flyers. I'm like, well, how much you want for the flyers? No, actually, I'm sorry. He had some flyers, but he also had like some PR promo sheets from back in the day. And I'm like, well, how much do you want for this stuff? And he's like, well, everything's a different price, which is always an annoying answer, you know? And so I
Yeah.
said, well, how much do you want for this promo sheet? And he's like $20. I'm like, oh, all right. And I'm thinking, well, you know, maybe I'll buy it, or maybe I'll buy two, and maybe I can sell one and get the other one for free, essentially. And then he said something I didn't quite register because he had a bunch of these like manila envelopes or manila folders rather. And I didn't quite register. And I'm looking at the flyers. I'm like, oh, did you say that these manila envelopes are guar stuff too? And he's like, yeah. And so I pick them up and I'm flipping through with them. There's probably about 300 to 500 pages there, Ricky, maybe more. And I'm flipping through them and I see like it's like hand drawings and it's like some scripts and it's like handwritten notes. And I just said to him, and he's like, I'm looking to sell the whole lot. And I'm like, well, what do you want for the whole lot? And he says to me, $200. And I'm like, you know, I feel like taking a risk. So I said, okay. So I bought the entire lot, and it's, you know, it's about 500 pages. I didn't even really look at it. So I took all, and I figure I can sell some of these flyers for like $50 each, $60 each. So I'll probably at least break even and get some cool stuff out of it. I take it back to my table. Ricky, what it was apparently back in the day, Hunter Jackson, who was one of the two main guar founders. The two main guar founders, there's a lot of guar founders, but the two main ones are Dave Brocky, who's Otis Arungus, who kind of
Right.
the music side and maybe the general concept, and Hunter Jackson, who did the original costume side and I guess the original idea of how the band will function as both a band and sort of make movies and TV shows, right? That's Hunter Jackson. And so what it was, Ricky, was it was the personal archives of Hunter Jackson that he left behind when he moved out of Philadelphia in a rush. And so inside, Ricky, is literally the original handwritten script. No, I'm sorry, the handwritten storyboard to the guar movie Skullhead Face, with the storyboards drawn by Hunter Jackson. It's the script to Skullhead Face. It's a bunch of drawings by Hunter Jackson. It's Ricky, do you know what Blood Bowl is?
No.
Do you know what Warhammer is?
No, I don't think so.
Warhammer is a relatively popular tabletop war game, and it had a spin-off called Blood Bowl, where it's basically like a football game. And so
Okay.
apparently GWAR was trying to get Blood Bowl to license the GWAR, a GWAR Blood Bowl game. So it was the concept to an unreleased game. It was some like literally like GWAR PR, a GWAR PR packet from like 1991. It was some original guar like kind of pamphlets that they used to hand out in like 1986 before Brocky even sang it when he was on guitar. And probably the biggest cool thing, Ricky, is it's the original photos and slides of the individual band members that they used to make the third cover, America Must Be Destroyed, and the receipt from that photo session.
Are you gonna like like archive this? I mean, this is kind of an amazing find.
Honestly, like War's like my favorite band, and you know these guys on Instagram, they're always like, look what I found. I got so and so's guitar case, and I'm always like, I don't give a shit about someone's guitar case, but I'm also a little jealous, And so I'm like, finally, it happened to me with like my favorite band. And so like it is a treasure trove of like handwritten Gwar movie notes and stuff. I'm probably gonna sell some of it because some of it I think is relatively valuable. And I'm gonna keep some of it too. I was considering selling the pictures, but that's like the coolest thing. So I think I'm gonna like keep those and frame those. And it was probably my greatest get ever. I mean, it was just, it's like it's like I've seen these Gwar movies 12 times probably. It's the handwritten script and notes and production notes from the Gwar movie, which is pretty wild. I mean, like that's pretty wild. So.
That's. I don't know, you can do much better than that.
Also, the I guess this is 2 days later. I'm at another record convention, the Cherry Hill Record Riot, which is right across the bridge from Philadelphia and Cherry Hill. And I'm just walking around looking at stuff. And Ricky, a guy had a signed Joe Strummer record, and I'm like, whoa! So I just bought it. So I got a signed Joe
What?
Strummer record. Yeah.
Wait, what? Which record?
Earthquake Weather.
I mean, damn. That's one I would frame.
Yeah, so like I said, is I every day is record store day, Ricky, if you want to
It
hit the record
really
store
is.
day. So I mean, there's always there's I've been collecting records now, Ricky, 25 years, I think, just about 25 years. I thought I'd get bored of it by now, but I'm not, Ricky. I'm like more psyched on it than ever, frankly. What's cool is like right now, like I have most of the records that I quote need, and so I'm in a nice place, if you will, just like kind of looking for fun and cool shit, Like at the record convention, I got a reggae version. I forget who the singer is, but it's a reggae version of "Oops, I Did It Again" by Britney Spears, but it's a reggae version. And I also got a version of "Lady in Red" by Sanchez, which is a reggae guy or a dance hall guy. So I'm just gonna like these weird, wacky things, which is a lot of fun. But I did do regular record store day, sort of, because I went to the record store in the evening, long after the madhouse was over. And I got two things, and I gotta say, I wasn't super psyched. Or did I get three things? I got two record store day things and one non-record store day thing, and it came out to like $90. And I gotta say, Ricky, it is kind of exhausting getting juiced, at record store. You know what I mean? It's like, it's like, oh my God, like $40 for a record. You know what I mean? But that being said, records are up in price. We talked about this last time. So we'll talk about it in a second. But what I got was I got the Tegan and Sara So Jealous Deluxe reissue for $40, two records. The first record is So Jealous, the album. The second record is Demos and B-Sides, which do I need that on vinyl? No. But I'm kind of in the position right now where I have like literally every Tegan and Sara vinyl there is. So I gotta keep going. But I feel like maybe that's foolish now because there's so many bands that I love. And do I need to get everything by every band? Because after a while, you just have a bunch of records that you kind of don't even want, But I don't know, man. I love Tegan and Sara. The So Jealous album is probably my second favorite album by them, with The Con being the first. And it's cool to have all those B-sides in one place because they're all strewn about on CD singles and movie soundtracks and stuff. So it's cool, but it's $40 for a CD I bought for like $199 15 years ago. And I already have the record too, so I don't know. The other thing that I bought, Ricky, is I was trying to be a dirtbag, is Jane's Addiction, who I don't even really like, put out a 12-inch single. And apparently some of the copies are signed by the band. And I'm like, ooh, well, I'll roll the dice in $20 and maybe I'll hit a jackpot. Ricky, I did not hit a jackpot. So now I'm stuck with this crappy Jane's Addiction record that I don't even want. So just goes to show, man, don't be a dirtbag flipper, The next day is fair game. Well, actually, here's a question, Ricky. Is it? I would say that if you get in line in the beginning of record store and flip, that's lame because not everyone has had a chance to buy what they want. Would you agree?
Yeah, it's not really in the, I mean, like, is it's It's not illegal, but it's like frowned upon, and it really destroys the spirit of what Record Store Day is supposed to be. It's not the only thing that destroys the spirit of Record Store Day on Record Store Day, but it's up there on the list.
So if like let's say you go at 7 p.m. after everybody's had their fair shot, is it
Sure.
fair to flip then?
If you are a, well, let me just answer that with a question, because
Because you're
is
scared
it,
to answer, that's
no, no, no,
why.
no, no, no. I think overall it's okay, but if you are a person that goes to buy it and flip it, yes, that's fine. But like, what if the store puts it up on, like the store that has it keeps the record and then puts it up on eBay for like double the price? Is that,
That's bullshit. B, that's actually against the Record Store Day rules, but it happens
oh, it is.
all
Okay.
the time. But it happens all the time. Although
Yeah.
I have heard that some record stores were shell shocked because some record stores were doing it and they got like blacklisted or something.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So
Yeah, I think overall that's okay. But I mean, even so, like the flippers aren't making that much money re this the last few Record Store Days. Like I
not at
remember
all.
when I couldn't make it to, when did the free LSD EP come out? Was that last year?
Yes, I believe it was
So I
last
like
year.
I got it for MSRP online, like the night, like the next day.
Well, along those lines, you're totally, and honestly, I'm glad. Like, I'm actually glad. Like it's tougher to flip on Record Store Day now. I think Grateful Dead stuff, of all things, still gets flipped. But the record store that I went to didn't have the Michael Rose record. I think like nobody on the East Coast had it. Ricky, I went online and bought it for under, like, literally like $12 under MSRP. Like, you know where.
Yeah.
And then also the Dead Milkmen reissues have been really, really nice, but they've been insanely expensive. I think Metaphysical Graffiti was $50 for a single LP, and I think Eat Your Paisley, was it Eat Your Paisley they re-released or the other one? I think it was no, it was Bucky Fellini they re-released. That was $40 for a single LP, which it goes to charity, but even so, I don't. I'd rather just give the charity $10 and spend $25 for a record than spend $40 for a record. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like that was MSRP $40. You can buy online all day long for $20. You know what I mean?
Right.
So yeah. So and the other thing I got was it was actually not part of the official Record Store Day. It was the re-release, the 40th re-release of Judas Priest's first record, Rock and Roller. That record famously has a tumultuous history, and that the band recorded it, and then Gull Records, the label that did the first two Judas Priest records that they hate and never paid them, remixed it, and the band was never happy with the mix ever, and they had trouble getting the rights back to it. Eventually, only about 7 or 8 years ago, Gull Records sold the entire catalog to E1 Entertainment, which is owned by Hasbro, and then Judas Priest bought the record back from Hasbro. And then so now Judas Priest owns that record, and they re-released it. The new remaster is honestly it's really good. It kind of gives it a little bit more of a metallic edge, making it sound more like the second record, Sad Wings of Destiny. It's a bit heavier. I think they might have added some stuff to it, which is always a little annoying. But what can you do? But it definitely is probably the best sounding and probably the most representative of what they want the record to sound like. Where the record used to kind of sound like a blues rock record or even a psych record, which I actually didn't mind, now it really sounds more like a proto metal record or even a metal record than it did before. So that's the other thing I got, which was pretty cool. That being said, Ricky, I walked out after spending $90 and I didn't feel like I had $90 in my hand. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you.
So. That's Record
Nice.
Store Day. So anyway, I gotta say, Ricky, it might not be interesting to say, but I will say this Record Store Day was underwhelming. I gotta say, underwhelming.
Black Friday one, it typically is. And but I wish they would kind of, I wish they would kind of do a little bit more digging on what should be put out, you know, on Record Store Day. That's kind of what was fun about it.
I agree that like all the releases were very lazy, you know?
Yeah.
And so do you think they're just being lazy? Do you think they're running out of stuff to put out? Or
They
like what?
can't. There's stuff that
Yeah, it's true.
Record Store Day people, if you're listening to this, hire John and I as consultants, please.
Yes, indeed.
Please.
Ricky, do you think what was I gonna say? What was I gonna say, man? Oh, no, not what do you think? Ricky, do you know who is the most egregious, lazy record repressor?
Is this with in
What
what for
artist?
what?
What artist?
What
Who's
artist?
who? What artist's catalog is being handled the most lazily?
Fleetwood Mac?
Good. Well, good answer, but they are putting out those alt rumors, alt Fleetwood Mac self-title,
I'm
which
like half kidding.
I hate those all. I'm like, what's the point? Like, I don't want to hear a worse version of the album. I want to hear the album. But that being said, the answer, Ricky, the Joe Strummer Estate. There are,
Oh, that
Ricky,
is heartbreaking.
I've got like 4 to 8 good to exceptional Joe Strummer live bootlegs. I've got one that you could like one you don't even need to clean up. One you literally could just put out as a record, and it'd be one of the, it would be the best live Joe Strummer record there is. There are also at least 8 to 15 officially released B-sides. There's also The Harder They Come, which has never been officially released. Aside from, actually, there is a Joe Strummer, The Harder They Come with the Long Beach Dub All Stars, which is actually super good. It's on some obscure movie soundtrack or compilation. They could put that out as a 7-inch. There is, I would say, at minimum three, well, at minimum three Joe Strummer studio compilation outtakes they could put out. There's also the stuff from the Straight to Hell soundtrack, which is really good. And there's a minimum of five excellent to extremely excellent live records they could put out. And instead, they're just repressing over and over Street Core and what's the white cover one? X-Ray Art Style. That's the pink one. What's the white one? His mediocre solo records.
Is that
It's,
the, is that from the Hellcat days?
yeah, I mean, honestly, like Street Core is pretty good. Actually, Street Core is very good, I'd say. But that's the one that was completed after he died. And I'm like, that's a little suspicious that the best one is the one that after he died. You know what I mean? And they're like,
Yeah.
oh, we just had to put the last few, toppings on the record, Global Agogo is the white one. So instead of, repressing and putting out all this really cool stuff that people will be into, they just keep repressing the same two or three studio records over and over, which everyone already has,
Wow. Oof.
So they could do a better job there, Ricky. They could, but they won't. So, Ricky,
Hmm.
what do you think the Joe Strummer, I'm sorry, what do you think Record Store Day should do in the future going forward? Now, keep in
Aside from
mind, you and I might say, oh, they should put out, I don't know. Well, actually, what they should put out is the, actually, so I'm going to throw it to you this way, Ricky.
okay.
From what should Record Store Day do, and what would you like, top three or so records you'd like to see them put out? And what they should do is, I could say, oh, they should put out the entire, I don't know, Melvin's discography, but actually that would probably sell. They should put out, the, well, actually, I could ask for any number of obscure releases that no one's going to
Yeah.
want except me and like three other people, So from a plausible standpoint, Ricky, what should Record Store Day do, either release wise or strategy wise, and what would you like to see Record Store Day do?
Okay, so aside from hiring both of us,
Indeed.
I would love to see them do, I mean, I say this every year, but like the more like the pre-Fat Wreck Morning Glory stuff would be great to have on vinyl.
Well, sadly, Ricky, that could happen. I mean, that could happen, but it's not going to happen.
I
You know what
know
I
it's
mean?
it makes me want to start a label out of spite. And then
Yeah, except for the one person you need to cooperate won't cooperate.
wait, seriously?
Yeah.
Wouldn't Black Noise be all about it?
No. The guy that made the record.
I know. Anyway, he wouldn't have to do anything.
That's what makes it all the more maddening. This is actually not an uncommon thing with a lot of records, is like either the artist or some label's doing nothing with it, and you're like,
Yeah.
you can trust me, I promise I'll run everything past you, and I'll do a nice job, and they still will just sit on it,
I think also, I mean, I would, I'm, and then just like on top of that, I was actually listening to Kill Whitey by NDK at the gym today. So that would be cool to have on vinyl. They only have their set, NDK only put out that 7-inch. I think also what I would like to see is this was really hard to find, but I found it. And this isn't even a punk record, but I grew up with Basher by Nick Lowe. It's like his greatest hits. And what was really cool about it was that the CD only had like 25 songs, but I think I think England, they pressed it in like 1989 as a gatefold double album, and it had 36 songs instead. And this thing was like hard to get, but I eventually did. I paid pretty good money for it, from what I remember. And I think they could stand to reissue that. That would be really cool. That would be for a wider audience as well. What else would I want them to do? I mean, I think those are kind of the main ones. I don't know if there's anything else that I would want in there immediately. Oh, I mean, this will never happen either, but I remember a long time ago when we were I was on the Punk News staff, and there was news that possibly Choking Victim would put out a live record. That probably won't happen either. So that would be cool.
Well, we'll see, Ricky. We'll
And that would
see.
be for a good audience. That would have a good audience too. Something else that Record Store Day needs to do though, is they need to bring down the count, the copy countdown, because everything is like a 5,000 copies, and the it's it when back in the day, you know, there was stuff that was like 300, you know. So I think it's just getting to I think the copy numbers for releases are too inflated at this point.
But then that encourages flippers again. You know what I mean?
True. I would, but that was sort, I mean, I kind of got a thrill out of beating the flippers when I got my
Hmm.
stuff. But so I mean, that's something to consider too. What about you, John?
Well, what I would say, A, I would love this. Well, strategy-wise, here's what Record Store Day should do, is stop being so lazy. You
Yeah.
know, what they should do is they should seek out, of course, people want, you know, the Grateful Dead re-releases. They want the Fleetwood Mac re-releases, even though you can get them, the old ones, anywhere. If that's what people want, fine. Give the people what they want. I'm all about it. You know, the Taylor Swift records, give the people what they want. I'm all about it. And I'm all about getting the young people engaged as well.
Yeah.
But so they should juggle that though with the make more interesting records, like the Ramones reissue, the Joe Strummer reissues. It's also just boring, you know. They need to focus, you know, for a while, like with Alice Cooper and Sublime, they were doing really neat records. They were doing a bunch of like Alice Cooper Live in 1984, I think it was. Alice Cooper Live in the Billion Dollar Babies tour, or Sublime, they were doing Sublime Remix by Scientist and Mad Professor, or some they re-released a bunch of the obscure Sublime pre-major label self-release records, which was super cool. So they need to focus on making interesting releases that have a limited audience, but that limited audience really wants it. And I think they didn't do that this time. This time they just did a whole bunch of generic trash, you know. And so,
You know what could have been cool was my Ramones single 7-inch box set that skips on every record.
yeah, that, well, I hear you. I hear you. Ricky brings it up every time. He's so damaged. But Ricky, I encourage you, Ricky, to dive into the other Ramones Record Store Day stuff, such as Live in 1980. Or let's see
Yeah.
what else here. Live at the Palladium 1979, super excellent. Live at the Triple J, Pleasant Dreams, Sigh of Dreams demos, which came out super good.
I
Ricky, there's
heard
a
that was
lot.
good. I heard the demos one was good.
Lots of really, really good Ramones Record Store Day reissues. There really is. So I would encourage you to check this out, Ricky. So that brings us to what should they do? What would I like to see? Ricky, number one on the list, probably. Let's reissue the Radioactive Era Ramones records. Mondo Bizarro, Acid Eaters, Adios
Oh,
Amigos.
yeah.
Let's get those out. Come on, boys.
Yeah. You know what? I wonder if there, well, it seemed like those big reissues were going in order. So I wonder
Well,
if they're on the horizon.
I don't think so because they reissued the Sire records. And, you know, Sire is the
Oh.
first one all the way through
Oh, that's
Loco Live,
right.
technically. And then what happened at the time, the Ramones contract has ended and they signed to the label run by their manager. And
Yeah.
to a degree, that was the end of the Ramones, and that they didn't know how to they didn't know how to market or sell or get distribution for the final 3/4 Ramones records.
Well, you know what could have happened, and this is when I interviewed C.J. Ramone back in the day.
Yeah, you get a really, people should check out Ricky's archive Ramon with CJ interview. It's actually a really, really good interview.
Thank you. So you know who they were supposed to, it was between Radioactive, and do you know who else was could have been the label?
I remember you kind of like brought to light an important piece of news, but I forget who it was.
It was supposed to, it could have been, and I'm getting chills right now. Okay? It could have been Epitaph Records.
Woof, woof,
Yep.
wow,
Yep.
wow.
That is, and I remember, and you'll have to read it to, but so don't take my word completely for it, but I remember CJ was telling me, and I did this face to face with him at It's Not Dead Fest, and he was like, he was telling ta he told me he would tell the other members, like, listen, these guys like grew up with our music, like we should probably do this instead. And it ended up just being all business, I guess, between Johnny and their manager, and they did it with Radioactive.
Oof.
But I mean, now those guys would be, they'd be, those reissues would, they probably have a like a serious box set, you know, like of the later Ramon stuff with Epitaph. It would probably, the reissues would probably be like better. We probably would have had those, the reissues you're talking about already. Yeah, that would have been really cool.
And of course, they also could reissue the rarest Ramones LP, right, Ricky? You know the rarest Ramones LP, Ricky?
Is it the covers one?
No, close though. Greatest Hits Live, which even though it sounds like it's a Greatest Hits album, it's not. It's just a live set from the final tour. There's a
Oh.
very, very limited, extremely limited LP version that sells for like $400 to $600 now, which it's actually a pretty cool live record. It's got them doing Spider-Man on it and stuff. Which I'd love to get a reissue of that. That would be awesome. It's got a bizarrely bad cover, I will say that. I think the cover's actually taken from the music video for Spider-Man, but it looks like it was drawn by like someone on paint in like 7th grade. But that being said, it'd be cool to have that record on vinyl for sure. So that's what I would like to see. I'd also like to see the Joe Strummer stuff, which would be really cool to have. Even maybe a nice version of Earthquake Weather, which isn't a super great record, but I definitely would like to hear those live records. I'd also like to hear, Ricky, there's a few different Joey Ramone live records, which are super. Oh, and actually, I'm going to bring up something else too. But there's also a few super nice Joey Ramone live bootlegs, which sound really good. And it's kind of cool to hear Joey doing his solo stuff and Ramone stuff, but not with
Yeah.
the Ramones. It's a different vibe for sure, and it's kind of cool, And what else would I like to see? I would like to let me throw out one more. Oh, obvious. Well, this won't even have to be Record Store Day thing. It is Danzig 1 through 4, Ricky. Where are those at? Or Samhain? Where are those at?
Yeah, those, I mean, I, those are, those go for crazy money too.
Damn. And
So, yeah.
that's another annoying thing. We literally need one guy to push the button, Ricky, and he won't push it.
Does he know what he's doing to everyone?
I think he does. See, I mean, and like in a way, you can't diss Danzig that much because he's a weird guy, and that's why his music is great and as weird as it is because he's a weird dude.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. I think he likes the fact that his records are hard to find because it kind of makes them a cult, because of course
Yeah.
Danzig is very much a collector himself, a very much a collector. And so maybe he likes that it's hard to find that stuff. That being said, he's missing out on a lot of money. And so that being said, is maybe that's to Danzig's credit. Maybe that shows he's not all about the money. You know what I mean? So
I'm sure it'll happen at some point.
yeah, I actually think it will happen at some point too. So yeah. So Ricky, let's play a tune. We'll come back and we'll talk about records and maybe a little bit of news.
Sure.
Ricky, what's your next song choice?
So, when I mean, this was a surprise record for me. I kind of just checked it out because I'm subscribed to the Dirt Cult Records Bandcamp page, and they put out this album called oh, I'm sorry. Hang on a second. By a band called Hood Rats. It's an awesome record. It's one of my favorites of the year. The album is called, I want to make sure I get it right. Let me just look at, because it's a little long. It is Crime, Hysteria, and Useless Information. It has kind of like a Neighborhood Brats vibe, more on the hardcore side, kind of like, I don't know if you remember the album Choke on It by No Love, kind of a vibe of that, kind of in that area. So I'm gonna play the song "Join a Cult" by Hood Rats. Here it is.
Any other cool record scores lately? Any other cool records you want the people to know about that you've picked up or they should check out?
I have a big one because, but I want to do that one last because it's full circle. So I want to do, so let me see what I have. So, I got, first I got a translucent pink variant of 8020 by the Dopamines. Only 100 copies. I love that record. It's so good. And then I got, Stiff Richards put out their first new songs in 4 years. It got the GFC 7-inch out of Australia. Really, really good stuff. I've been really into Enemy U this year. So I got the Promise Breakers 7-inch, which is part of the Fat Rec Club, the Fat Club edition, which is like blue and clear. Let's see. Oh, I got that the Rascals 7-inch that came with Brian Gorsegner's book, Ancient Artifacts. So I got that the blue one there. That was cool. I can't believe I did this, but I managed to snag one of the final NOFX show records off the Fat Wreck website. I got Surfer,
Oh, wow.
which is cool. And then, as you know, I've been trying to get my Ramones collection of their like studio. I'm trying to get every studio album of theirs, and I'm almost done, John. I'm pretty close. I mean, I got a promotional copy of End of the Century, which is like
That's
my
cool.
sixth or seventh promotional copy of theirs. I got the a first pressing, the Pitman pressing of the self-titled,
That's cool.
which was really good. And then let's see here. Why won't this load? Oh, and then I also got a promotional copy of Subterranean Jungle, which was cool. Halfway to Sanity, I got this year. Animal Boy, which I've been rocking, by the way. That is a great like 80s Ramones album, which I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, honestly, like the older I get, the more I actually like the 80s and even the 90s Ramones records. I'm like, you know what? These aren't really nearly as bad as I remember, and actually, they're actually pretty good.
No,
I think
listen,
oh, go ahead.
Mondo Bizarro is awesome.
See, I love Brain Drain. I love Brain Drain.
Brain Drain's amazing too. It's re I mean the stuff is like I think I don't know what happened, but they're clicking now for people, I guess. I got Smoker Fiction by X. I got one of the limited yellow ones that were numbered. That was cool. I finally got Earth AD Wolf's Blood by the Misfits. It was just like a fun like purple and black reissue. And I think that's pretty much it since the last time we talked. Oh, I got Vows by Hot Water Music. I got the there's only 75 of these made, but I got a, it's clear with 8mm film inside the record. So that was that's a fun little novelty. I wonder what that's going for now. Oh. Okay. And then I also got the Hood Rats album that I just played. Hopefully people check that out. And then John,
Yes.
what will I say that I also got? That will probably make some people cringe. I'm not gonna lie.
What will you say that you also got? Screwdriver's second record, first press.
No, I got the American Idiot box set that I predicted earlier this year. It's really fun. It's my first like real box set that isn't like a 7-inch box set. It's I know I still owe you a review for it, but I listened through all of it. It sounds amazing. I just would have done some things differently. Like the need to have like two different live sessions on record on double LPs is seems kind of redundant. And while they could have done like they could have reissued Bullet in the Bible, which is the like a that DVD that came out later on, and but the LP came out I think like only in Japan and now goes for crazy money. I mean it's really really hard to get. Yeah, that's so but overall it's really good quality. It sounds amazing. And I really can't complain, but I think I would have done a few things a little differently. I don't really need like a banner with their faces on it. I didn't need like the red
Ricky,
tie.
you're not gonna put a big flagpole on your car and like hang a banner from it, so when you drive the banner like flies back and forth through the wind, Ricky.
No, I mean, listen, it's fun. This album came out at like a really impressionable time when of in my life, so like I'm just very happy to have it. But if you only kind if you either don't, I mean, obviously if you don't like the album, don't get it. But if you're like kind of like midway, you kind of like the album, it's don't get it. If you love the album like I do, then it's worth looking at. And then just to finish off, I have just in terms of the Ramones progress, I still need Acid Eaters, Adios Amigos, and Rocket to Russia, original presses, and then I'm done with my studio with my Ramones studio albums hunt.
You should go into the live records, Ricky. I love the Ramones live records. Of course, there's the classic "It's Alive,"
There's
but I
It's Alive
love.
and it's a local live, and then I've heard of it, and then also there's It's Alive 2.
Well, yeah, it's Alive. So "It's Alive" is the classic one from 1979. "It's Alive 2" is a recording from the next night or the night before that they put out like a year or two ago. So that's like a
Okay.
new record, you know.
Yeah. But yeah, Acid Eaters and Adios Amigos is gonna be that's gonna be tough. I think Rocket Rush will be a little bit easier, but not much. But I'm almost there and then I'll see about the live records afterwards. But I'm closing in. So yeah, John, what did you get?
Well, let me ask you, Ricky, when you finish up a collection, are you happy or are you sad and cry as because to incorrectly paraphrase Alexander the Great, Alexander wept because there are no more worlds to conquer. So are you sad when the hunt is over, Ricky?
No, you know, I had a smaller version of this with the Blondie, with the first few Blondie records to get them all like on early Chrysalis pressings on actually one of them actually I have one that's bef their first album on the late mine is a copy of theirs from before they were on Chrysalis, so I wasn't sad, not really. I mean, I also got I think I kind of added their I found a co promotional copy of their Best Of, so that was kind of a fun bonus, but I don't really get like sad about it. No, I feel accomplished.
See, Ricky, now you gotta start collecting the rare Blondie 12-inch singles that have like extended versions of Rapture and extended versions of Heart of Glass and so forth.
Yeah,
Or
now it's gonna be hard to like stay off Discogs.
Ricky, how about the 12-inch single that has Blondie singing in Spanish? I think it's Rapture that has her singing in Spanish.
Really?
Yeah, I actually picked it up not that long ago. It's pretty cool. Let me see if I can figure out which
I'm
it
all
is.
actually I'm still looking for I still have like I have at least one or two Dead Kennedys OGs I need to find too. So maybe I'll focus on those next. Like I don't have Mutiny on the Bay, but I know that wasn't Alternative Tentacles or anything like that.
Yeah, I mean that's a relatively easy. That's a newer record. That's relatively easy to find now.
I know which one I need. I need Bedtime for Democracy.
Yeah, that one's a little bit more expensive. But I mean,
Yeah.
the cool thing about Dead Kennedys records is they sold a ton of records, so they're actually not that hard to find, you know?
Yeah, and also like when it comes to these collections, I don't need them to be like in the best condition.
Yeah,
I
me
just
too. Me too.
if they come, I think it adds character. I just need the original inner sleeve to be with it, and that's and playable.
Ricky, what's your stance on price tags? Do you leave them on or take them off?
I really like them off. I mean, unless they're like on the cellophane, then that's okay, but I really don't like them on the artwork.
I used to leave them on because it served as a tag of where and when I bought the record. But then I had some records like 10 years on that I was like selling. I'm like, I don't want this record. And then those tags cost me 30 or 40 bucks because they were permanently affixed. You know what I mean? I couldn't get them off.
Yeah.
So yeah, man. As for me, I've been wrapping up my Ween collection. I recently got a copy.
Whoa.
I don't have originals. I actually saw some original the Mollusk chocolate and cheese. Like Ween records are super expensive and super hard to find because especially now the band is in a state of total disarray, as everyone knows. But even before that is they would repress a record and then it would sell out immediately and then they wouldn't repress it for like 4 or 5 years, which was kind of annoying. And so like every Ween record starts at like $100, literally, you know, sometimes they go up to like $300, $400. And it's annoying that they weren't better at like keeping them in print. But I guess with the amount of money that they make from their live shows, which is insane, like you'd be surprised what a band like Ween makes from their live show, because you don't think of Ween as being a huge band, but they make crazy money from the live show. I guess like why bother with repress? It's literally just not worth the time, you know. And so anyways, so I've been collecting official but not necessarily first presses of Ween records, and I recently got Shinola Volume 1, which is their Rarities album, which actually is one of my favorite records by them. I definitely think it's one of their better later day records. I also got a vinyl copy of Quebec, which is very hard to find on vinyl, which is one of the later day records. So the point being is, so Ricky, this weekend I saw an original press of the Mollusk. What do you think that goes for, Ricky?
The Mollusk. Is Ocean Man on that?
Yes.
What? 300, $400?
450 bucks. You hit it on the nose. So it's like,
Jeez.
you know, at this point, like I'm not gonna be, you know, it's like I get it. I've spent a fair amount of chunk for some records, but for me, at my point in my life, I don't need to be dropping 450 bucks for a record that's identical to the one that I spent 75 for. You know, except
Yeah.
for the little name in the bottom left-hand corner is different, you know. That being said, there are certain records where I do want to have originals, you know, like Rudimentary Penile, Ramones, Judas
Yeah.
Priest. But then you gotta, you know, you can get an original Judas Priest record for 20, 30 bucks. You know, you can get an original Ramones record depending on which one it is for you know, $20 to $100, not $500, you know. So that's a bit of a difference, you know. So I've been wrapping up my Ween collection. The point being is, if you're a Ween fan, I would recommend getting the ones that you want for a reasonable price if you can, or even a semi-reasonable price, because the band is in such disarray. I don't think you're going to be repressed for a while, if ever. Oh, Ricky, here's the one that I really wanted. Actually, I want to talk about two more records.
Okay.
Maybe three. Ricky, here's one. Actually, I'll talk about two more records, maybe three. Ricky, here's one. I'm going to talk about two extremely pleasant surprises. Ricky, have you ever heard Devo's album, Something for Everybody? It's the last record they put out, which about 10 or 15 years ago.
No.
I came across a reasonable copy of the vinyl. And I've never actually listened to the record because it got like medium to bad reviews when it first came out. Ricky, it's an awesome record. Like, it is an awesome record. Like, all the way through, front to back, is high energy Devo-esque music. And the reason it got bad reviews, and this was kind of back, I guess, when Pitchfork kind of controlled the sea. The first review they got was a Pitchfork review, which was bad. And Pitchfork's complaint was, it's Devo trying to sound like Devo. And I'm like, well, what else were they trying to sound like? It's Devo, you know?
Yeah.
Ricky, I would say check out this. You can get the CD for like $1.99. But Something for Everybody is like my third favorite Devo record. It's great. It's like super duper great. I really couldn't believe how good it was. And I'm like, what was everyone thinking 10 or 15 years ago when this record came out? It's super good. It just goes to show, like, the wave of reviews, both positive and negative, isn't always right. You know, sometimes it's wrong. I guess second to last is I finally got a copy of Rancid. Is it B-sides and C-sides, or is it C-side and D-sides?
Oh, yeah. I think it's C and B. B, yeah, and yeah. C, sorry.
So I'm not a huge – I mean, I like Rancid, but I'm not a Rancid maniac. But I got – and honestly, like, everything after Indestructible, and maybe even Indestructible – like, Indestructible is good, but it's kind of cheesy, and it's kind of where Rancid kind of started to descend into self-parody by accident. So I guess it was Rancid trying to sound like Rancid rather than having a direction, if you will. I'm just going to contradict myself there. But, you know, it's all right. But the ones after that, just they're just not, you know, you want them to be good, and they're just not interesting is the best way to put it, you know. But I got to say, B-sides and C-sides, Ricky, that record, like, whips pretty much all – like, all those songs are, like, really good. I was really –
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, it's got a whole lot of, like, forgotten songs that, like, when put together are, like, really – much like Ween's Shinola album. It's better than some of their albums, frankly, just because – some of the songs just didn't fit on the album. There's some really good ska songs on there. It's really good. The last one I'm going to mention, which I've talked about before in the Punkish podcast, this was a real shocker for me. I just bought this because I was at the record convention a couple of months ago, and I saw it for $20, so I snatched it up. Dee Dee Ramone's Hop Around album, which is basically Dee Dee just rewriting already famous Ramone songs and doing slightly different versions. And you think that would be crappy, but actually, like, I think it might be the best Ramone solo record, unless you do Joey's first solo, except for Joey's first solo record is kind of depressing, where Hop Around is awesome. Like, listen to these titles, Ricky. I Don't Want to Die in the Basement. Now I Want to Be Sedated. Rock and Roll Vacation in LA. 38th and 8th. Hop Around. I Want You. He also does Born to Use by Johnny Thunders and some other cool stuff. But I got to say, Ricky, like, it's a great record all the way through. It's, like, super duper good.
Some of those titles seem a little passive aggressive.
They probably are. I mean, you know, Dee Dee was a real character, and he had a lot of issues, you know, and then the Ramones all hated each other. But that being said, I don't really care if the Ramones hate each other one way or another if I get good music out of it, Ricky. And that Dee Dee record is super good, super good. So people should check it out. So those are some cool records that I've got. So, you know, I'm always on the hunt. Ricky, do you want to hit a couple of news stories, or should we wrap it up?
We can do some news. Sure.
What's your take on the Dead Boys AI, Ricky?
I don't like it. I don't like robots. I don't like AI. I don't like any of it.
I agree.
I mean, the Tesla robots, I don't like them. I don't want Terminator happening. I don't like it.
I agree.
Yeah.
So, I feel like people are being way too cavalier with AI, Ricky. I feel like everyone's like using AI all the time, and they don't realize how quickly AI can develop. And also, why aren't we using AI to like build bridges or something instead of make music? Like, let's let humans make music and AI can build bridges, you
Well, the other
know?
thing is, like, I don't hear anything positive about AI, like, in the news. I only hear about
Yeah.
how it can, like, just replace humans.
I
So
agree.
I don't, like, just I'd like someone to educate me, because I'm not very educated on it, as to, like, why is this good? That, let's just start there. Why is this a good thing?
But the problem is the people that might educate you are slanted. You know what I mean? It's very hard to find a neutral source. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so until I hear that, I just am anti-robot and not a big fan of AI. I mean, if it can help me with, like, if they could use AI, what would have been amazing is, like, if we do, like an interview, if they could get AI to make audio, a recorded interview go to text, that would make life a lot easier,
How about AI, Ricky, where we don't even have to interview the person? We can just use the AI version of them, and that'll just do it for us. What do
Okay, see, now you just ruined
you
it.
think of that? So whose side are you on in the Jake Hout versus Cheetah Chrome battle? And who do you believe? Or do you not believe either of them?
This is a bad idea. I mean, when it comes to these stories, you never really know what's going on behind the scenes, so I'll leave
True.
some room for that. But I mean, at what point do you just say, guys, maybe we should just hang it up, and I mean, it's also kind of creepy. This is like the audio version of the holograms, like the
Yeah,
Cheetah holograms.
you're
So,
right, you're
like,
totally right.
yeah, I'm not, and I didn't like those. So, yeah, whoever's against the AI thing, it just, and also it's like, is anyone gonna buy this? Like, who is this for? I don't know. So I don't, I'm really not a fan, of any of it. And like, if you want to keep going with, like, your new singer and stuff like that, that's great. Like, do it. If you want to keep, if that's, if you're, if you still got it in you, do it. But, like, this is, it's annoying. It's like, I mean, this is like the next step after auto-tune,
I agree with you. And with AI and kind of somewhat similar to like these quote reunion tours, like the Black Flag reunion tour, where it's just Greg Ginn and three dudes. It's like, so you go, is anyone like, wow, that show was awesome? Or is everyone like, oh, I saw Black Flag, but it wasn't really Black Flag. And it was kind of good, but it wasn't great. You know what I mean? Like, is anyone going to get this AI? Not that there is going to be one, but is anyone going to get this hypothetical AI album with AI voices and be like, oh, this is awesome. You know, it's better. It's as good as the original Dead Boys.
No
No.
one's gonna say that, and if
Yeah,
anyone is being paid to say it.
everyone's going to be like, oh, it kind of sounds like Steve Bader's, but it's not
Yeah.
really. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you know what? I'm not gonna go see Greg Ginn's Black Flag, but I will go see Flag.
I would definitely go. I actually, well, and that brings us to maybe our last story. And I actually, I've told this story a couple times before, but let me tell a couple Black Flag stories. A, I did see Black Flag with Greg Ginn and Ron Reyes, and Ron was cool. I like Ron a lot, but even that felt a little empty. And then I saw Black Flag with what's his name? What's his
Mike
name?
Valley.
Oof. It's bad. I mean, it's like not only is it empty, it's like if it was just called the Greg Ginn Band, I probably wouldn't have such an adverse reaction to it.
Yeah.
But it's like this is not like you're standing there, and it sort of kind of maybe sounds like Black Flag, but you're like this is not Black Flag, and so no matter what they do, they're never going to meet my expectations. And you know, whereas Flag, for whatever reason, calling themselves Flag instead of Black Flag really helps them out a big deal. You know what I mean? It's like yeah, it's Flag. It's Keith Morris and the guys doing Black Flag, and you're like it's awesome. But I guess. On the other hand, what Flag has, what Black Flag doesn't have, is it's way better, way better. Oh, so here's my quick Black Flag story, Ricky. So I think this was the Ron Reyes tour. Mike Valele was selling T-shirts, and all the T-shirts were $10 each, which was insanely cheap even then. I'm like wow, that's weirdly cheap. And so I give Mike Valele a 20. I'm like, here's a 20. I want that T-shirt, and he gives me the T-shirt, and he stands there. And I'm like, can I have my 10 back? And he acted like he forgot that I gave him a 20, even though I said, here's a 20. You know what I mean? I'm like, so I'm like, I see what's going on here. And I washed the shirt once, Ricky, and it totally fell apart.
Oh, God.
Like, this is my message to bands. If you sell someone something cheap and it's shitty, they're going to remember that it's shitty, not that it was cheap. If you sell something that's medium or even expensive, but it's super nice, they're going to remember that it's super nice, not that it was medium or even a little pricey, you know. And the Melvins have mastered that, obviously, with their merch. So that being said, anyway, Ricky, let's do one quick last story. Punk rock bowling. You're probably not going to go because I know you got your hands full with all you got going on out there in L.A. Yeah. Ricky's an important guy, you know, driving around town doing his thing. He's got a lot going on. I get it. But, Ricky, what do you think of the punk rock bowling lineup? Social Distortion, Peter Hook and the Light, and Cox Bar's Finest USA show, plus Damned, plus Flag, plus let's see here. Got to pull up the rest right here. A bunch of newer bands.
The Interrupters.
Oh, Interrupters.
The Flag.
Here we go. I got it right here, actually. Flag, Damned, Interrupters, Power Trip with the new singer, Addicts, Bouncing Souls, Fiddlar. Don't you hate Fiddlar, Ricky?
I saw them one year, and it just stuck out like a sore thumb.
Yeah, I don't really like Fiddlar. Gang of Four doing all their debut LP. Lara Jane Grace with Mikey Erg and Matt Patton.
That should be worth seeing.
It is a really good show. I saw them in Philadelphia. That is a really good show. Cockney Rejects with Olga of Toy Dolls, Youth Brigade, Podcaster, Surfboard, Riverboat Gamblers, Angel Dust, Co-Defendants, No Bro, Bad Waitress, and many more. Ricky, were you not as busy as you are, would you consider going to this?
It would depend on what the club shows were like. I'm not dying to see almost any of these bands, to be honest.
Not even Flag?
Flag, obviously. Like, I would love to see Flag. I've actually never seen Social Distortion, so I would go for that. But, like, a lot of these, like, I'd be interested in seeing, but, like, I'm not dying to see most of these bands. I'd be interested in seeing Riverboat Gamblers for the first time. I've, you know, the Baboon Show have some jams, not gonna lie. I'd be interested to see, even though I didn't love the record, I would be interested in seeing Co-Defendants live. I'd be interested in always seeing, you know, Lara Jane Grace. And also Bad Nerves have been making some waves. So I'd be interested in seeing them. But, like, is there anything like, oh my God, I gotta go see them? No. But maybe the club shows could pique more interest for me. But this is like, for me, I usually used to have like more like Epitaph, Fat Wreck bands. That's what I commented on the Punk Me story. And there's almost none this time around. I mean, it's like Interrupters are on Hellcat, Co-Defendants are on Bottles to the Ground, but there's, I don't know. It's like the main festival took like a completely different direction, which I mean is fine. Yeah, overall, it's I think they just kind of shook things up for this lineup this year. Also, is the Damned, is that going to be the original lineup?
No, it's Black Album lineup, which is Captain Sensible, Dave Anian, Rat Scabies, and Paul Gray on bass, which is Black Album and Strawberries.
Okay, so I mean, listen, the Damned are always fantastic. So either way, that's fine. But yeah, what do you think, John? Are you going?
I'm 90% chance I'm going to go. I haven't gotten my ticket yet, but I'm most likely am going to go. I do have my hotel reserved. Like I've said before, I think it's all right. I think it could be a little spicier. Social Distortion, I don't care about it at all. Cox Bar, I'm not a huge Cox Bar guy, but that's fitting for PRB. Peter Hook doing Joy Division, it's cool. I don't know if it's tough for me to make that a punk rock blowing headliner because Peter Hook doing Joy Division is an awesome show, but it's tough for me to have like one-fourth of the band doing the band as a headliner, you know? If Flag was a headliner, I'd be saying, yeah, hell yeah, because it basically is Black Flag, and it's, you know, it's so closely associated to punk. I think I was hoping for another Iggy Pop as a headliner.
I was there for that.
But that being said, that set list was awesome. Was that an awesome year, Ricky?
It was really good. I couldn't stay for the whole thing because I had to go to a club show, but it was – Like I heard
You
less
left
for
Iggy. You left Iggy Pop early, Ricky.
I wasn't. I did not hear the whole thing. No, but I was there for like the stuff that I wanted to hear.
Oof. What clubs did you have to
And
go to, Ricky?
I don't even remember. Was that 2018?
Probably around there.
I don't remember. I do think it's interesting though that Flag is not a headliner, and when I went, Flag was a headliner.
Yeah, that is interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't know. I thought like because I thought like, you know, with the sh with the rumors flying around about Fat Wreck, I'm like maybe like there's just not as much of a that maybe they just don't have as much of a hand in the lineup this year or something. That's kind of what I was thinking. That's a guess. I have no proof of that, but it's definitely it's a different vibe this year for sure.
Oh, and actually, I did want to mention this with you, Ricky, and then I'll let you go.
Yeah.
Fat Rex, what do you think's going on, man? What do you think's going to happen?
I talked to some other people. Apparently this has been in the rumor mill for quite a while. I don't know if, I mean, I'm glad you clarified everything, that it was just talks. But I mean, it makes sense because there haven't been like a lot of new releases in the last like year or two. It's been a lot of 25th anniversary releases and maybe some EPs and stuff like that. But I don't know. It makes me sad. Made it no secret. Like Fat's my favorite record label, and I don't know. I hope they don't sell it because I think it has a really good thing going. But if they sell it, I do worry like what's gonna happen post selling. Like, are they gonna keep all the bands? Are they just gonna keep it as like an archival kind of reissue label? I really hope that doesn't happen. But I don't know. When I heard NOFX was ending, I'm like, okay, but I didn't. I had this that came out of nowhere to me, at least. But apparently, again, it's been in the rumor mill for a while. But what do you think?
I mean, I don't know, but I think Fat is going to, go away, in one way or another, and I think it's going to have significant repercussions or
Yeah.
reverberations in the punk scene. Not that I'm a huge Fat fanboy, I'm not at all, but I mean, I like some bands on Fat, and I like the fact that Fat exists, and I like that whatever you can say about Fat or Fat Mike or whatever, Fat Mike and Fat and Aaron, you can tell they care about the bands on their label. Like, they don't just
Yeah.
sign a band because they want to make money or whatever. They sign a band because they like the band and they want the band to succeed. So that being said, I think if another label absorbs Fat, that very large chunk of the contemporary punk rock universe is going to go away. And I think punk rock is going to be like Fat is kind of the meeting for all the subgenres of punk, the maximum rock and roll, the pop punk, the radio punk, or quote punk, quotations, indie punk, whatever. Fat is kind of the hub at it, and then like all those genres kind of intersect at Fat's type of punk rock. And once that goes away, which if they get subsumed, I think that scene will go away. It's going to be the end of a significant era, and I think punk's going to become much more fractured. And not to be overdramatic, but I think the repercussions on punk rock as a whole, at least in North America, are going to be larger than people foresee, honestly.
Yeah, and I think other labels will absorb the bands that want to continue too.
Yeah, but it won't be like one central hub of those kinds of
No.
bands, you know?
No, I agree, and I wouldn't be surprised if some smaller labels started from those bands too. Like if some just got together and just said we're going to do our own thing. But I mean, in terms of, I mean, like they're the I really like got into vinyl because of that too. Like they were, like that was like I still love jumping in, seeing what getting in on the color pre-order early, and stuff like that. That was where I started a lot of that. So. I hope they continue, but I've been saying this to people too, like 2024 will probably be like a fairly significant year for punk rock because of all the bands. I mean, I can name, I mean, three or four bands that are pretty big names that are done for the most part, and then the fat, then the Fat Wreck, possibly then Fat Wreck possibly being sold. So like we're gonna lose. I know no one cares, but I care. But so Sum 41's ending, X is ending, Off is done for the most part, and then NOFX. Like that's that those that's not a that's like some pretty big stuff happening in just 1 year. So I don't
I
know.
agree. I
Yes.
agree.
So I think looking back, this year will be pretty consequential. But let's just wait. I mean, let's just wait and see. But it'll be interesting after this news, like what's going to happen, what releases they're going to do next, Fat's going to do next year, because again, there haven't been that many.
You think there's going to be fat releases next year, you say? Hmm.
I mean, unless they're negotiating a sell right now, but I mean, the last thing that I bought from them, well, actually, let me see here. So the last thing I bought was the, well, I bought the guitar pedal that James Bowman made with them. But latest releases, I mean, they put out a Me First and a Gimme Gimme 7-inch. There's the Bad Astronaut. The last thing I got was the Copyright's new 7-inch. That was back in October, but that was a 7-inch. The last full length they put out was the Last Gang album. I mean, there's really only been, that was February. There's been 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 releases from Fat this year. 1, 2 of those were 7 inches. So, and that's kind of light, and that's but that's not including the 25th anniversary records that they probably put out this year too. So I don't know. I hope they keep going, but I it's the news has pretty much settled in, and I'm accepting whatever happens. I won't be happy if they just close up shop though.
So let's see here. So far, Ricky's been through shock, denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and
Yeah.
now he's at acceptance and hope. So there you go.
Yeah, basically my mourning for Fat Records has basically completed. I just this sucks, man.
It does. Honestly, it does. It does. Well,
It does.
we'll see,
Well,
Ricky.
I
Oh,
it'll
yeah.
the news is going to be regardless of what happens, the news is going to be fascinating, like no
It
matter
is.
what. It's going to be like that's going to be really, really interesting to see what happens. So, but whoever buys it, they're going to be under some pressure from the fans.
Well, we'll see, Ricky.
We'll see.
Ricky, thanks again for coming on. It's always a pleasure to have you on. The 90 minutes flies by
It
and what
really
feels about
does.
20 minutes.
Yeah.
So we'll have to do it again next Record Store Day, Ricky, in 6 months.
Sounds good.
And anytime you want to come on, just let me know and you're welcome on. And let's wrap this up. Well, we opened with Homefront, then we played Hood Rats. Let's wrap this on up with, well, we talked a lot about Ramones. Yeah, let's wrap up with the Ramones track. Let's
Let's
do a
do a
little bit.
late Ramones song, huh?
Go ahead, Rick. Pick one out.
Oh, are you sure?
Yeah, go ahead.
Should I do 90s or 80s?
Let's do 90s, Ricky. Even more daring than the 80s.
Okay. So I think Poison Heart off Mondo
Ah,
Bizarro. What do you think?
great song. Great song covered by Joe Jack Takam at the Summer Soiree 7 Ramones Mania.
No way, that's
Yeah, they,
awesome.
yeah, it was actually pretty awesome. So, Ricky, thanks again for coming on. This is Poison Hearts by the Ramones, and we will see you next week.
hurts, everybody hurts. The poison heart, a heart.